Hello and welcome to Imp's WWE Adventures podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. You can help out the network by leaving us a five-star review. You can also give a donation directly through Red Circle and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. One Nation Radio with Rich and James, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, and Tunnel Talk. My name is Matt Mayer, a.k.a. Imp, and this is your quick look back at the WWE week that was. 30 minutes, and that's your lot. That's it, Matt. None of this 40 minutes bullshit like last week. You keep yourself in check, Matt. Stay in your lane. What do you think this is? A Keeping It Strong style Kiss Boys feature lane? No, that is not your lane. Stick to your Type 30, Matt. Type 30. That's all we want for you. That's all we want for you. Roman and Cody's face-to-face. WrestleMania, 15 days away, our main event competitors got their in-ring chin wag live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. With Rocky taking such a strong hold of the spotlight, this was a much-needed night for Roman to step up. So, did he? In a week where we already know by this point of this show coming out what the main conversation is and who's kind of got the spotlight right now. But did Roman take his moment on SmackDown to step up? Kinda? And kinda not. This was really your standard Reigns title match face-to-face promo, but we're at that point where without that something special, he's going to fall far just below both Cody and The Rock, which is kind of a shame for his legendary reign-ending feud, but works so damn well as fuel for his potential Rocky match. And I really do think that this could work so well in setting up Rocky versus Roman down the line with the way that The Rock is stealing his spotlight right at the end. And it would make sense that Roman would take such huge grievance with what Rocky's doing here. But, you know, for my read there to be a thing, that negative still needs to exist. That negative is still happening. Like, Roman in the promo itself, this is what I mean by it's kind of like paint by the numbers. He's painting Cody a fuel for siding with Seth Rollins, which, hello, character continuity, that's at least nice to see. With Roman just having zero trust for Seth Rollins, can't believe anybody would ever trust him, which just makes all the sense in the world. And speaking of continuity, Cody bringing that reminder that he and his brother were the first team to beat The Shield. Cody bringing the bloodline bubbles to the surface, turning the question right back onto Reigns as to whether he should trust The Rock at WrestleMania. Reigns on the ramp snaps his fingers and ushers the command, Solo and Jimmy out to ringside. But Cody did say that his word means as much as Roman's at the start when Roman questioned about it. And if Roman's not alone, both Seth and Jimmy out from the crowd too. A big old stare down between the six lads as Roman's bloodline theme switches to Cody's nightmare. And this was one hell of a visual, which was unfortunately for me a bit of a problem with the Roman side of the whole promo and everything. It is almost set up for everything that Roman usually does just to not quite hit the way that Roman is used to it hitting. And that included everything in this promo. The way that it normally addresses his opponents. Everything was a standard Roman promo. However, Cody was just able to hit back on everything, including the numbers game. And I feel like that's why I look at the structure of this, the way that it's been constructed. And it just feels like all of the feelings that it's generating by watching it are stuff which is good for this feud and it's good for the future. But it's not going to pull Roman Reigns out of the shadow of The Rock. And what happened on Raw is just set him right back down. Like, The Rock and Cody is the main focus. And sure, on WrestleMania Night 2, Roman will be the main event. However, if they're going to do what I would personally do, the Bloodline win Night 1, just to create the biggest mountain possible for Cody to climb Night 2, and that's where you get your over-the-top booking, which I've seen loads of people do online, because as soon as they announce this Bloodline thing, you know what, I really wouldn't mind, just all the rumours to be true, where we get John Cena, we get Steve Austin, we get absolutely everybody running down a whole Avengers look to your left moment with every single person coming out. Everybody from the Bloodline's past, not just Cody's past, coming out to help. And I wouldn't mind that. I get my five-star awesome great wrestling from AEW. Like, I'm getting my fill. If I'm overbooked silly bollocks, I would really like WWE just to go full in on that. Have the Bloodline win and then go as crazy as possible on Night 2. Deliver everything. Make it seem like the biggest mountain and then have everybody help and lift Cody up to get there. That's what I would do. Only problem is, of course, that Roman, this promo didn't really work. It was just a little bit flat. And you could critique it as, well, is that still by design to keep that grievance? But I think in this particular moment, I would have Roman actually step up to actually feel like he could get his head above the surface a bit, because he is the third wheel, where Seth Rollins is the pin-eater fourth wheel. But Roman's the third wheel in this feud of The Rock versus Cody Rhodes, when you would really hope the main focus would be with Roman and Cody. But the story of The Rock making it all about himself is perfect for later down the line. It sets up more than just this match. But that said, this did a job in giving the awesome visual at the end of the six lads all staring down each other. The normal bloodline numbers tactic, here, Cody has got the numbers on them. And they've got the backup of the fact that, well, Jey Uso is also one of those people. Somebody who's left the bloodline is now against them in this feud. I think it's a really well done visual, and the story point for Cody works really well. It's just that the only thing that falls flat a little bit is Roman's fallen so far down the momentum, which also kind of, it does at least feed to the fact that he's holding the title, but he's lost so much momentum that he's going to be defeated. This feels like the most vulnerable he's ever felt as champion, because he feels the least champion. Personally, I'd want him to feel the strongest before his fall. It's all part of making that Night 2 mountain as difficult to climb as possible. Roman being a little bit weak, a bit too weak, I feel like it's kind of happened in the booking. Like, Rocky got his physical moment. When he beats up Cody, he doesn't say, "This is what you get when you F with the bloodline." He says, "This is what you get when you F with the final boss." For me, that's very telling in terms of the different characters that they're going with. Roman and the Bloodline still need their moment to kind of show their dominance right before the fall. But it also feels like the build is kind of just actively telling us the normal Bloodline stuff isn't going to work this time. But this all feeds into Monday Night Raw, and obviously we'll kick off Raw talking about the amazing Rock and Cody segment. But for me, this did a lot of things right apart from elevate Roman. Roman was the one thing that didn't step up in this moment, which we kind of needed to, just because the promo was pretty generic Roman Reigns stuff, which we've heard a million times at this point. There needed to be something extra. But what it set up for Cody was set up for the visuals going forward and for the match at WrestleMania. Oh, it did wonders. So, you know, it gives and it takes. To and fro, to and fro. In terms of, like, the rest of SmackDown, we had Naomi versus Io Sky. The show kicked off with Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar. We had tag team qualifiers. And aside from that, it's got a few little notes. Not, again, it's another SmackDown which is doing lots of little building without anything, like, major happening outside of the main angle. So the first thing I want to talk about is Naomi versus Io Sky. So early in the show, Bianca was explaining herself when it comes to damage control to Naomi. Before the match, Io completing her attack Bayley before the match boost bonus, 5 plus to damage rolls. The best spotlight Naomi has had since returning. Io's so good at making her opponent's offense look as awesome as possible. So in the end, the heatseeker from Naomi set up the moonsault, but damage control were having none of it. The distraction leading into an incredibly easy swing into victory for Io because of the plus 5 to damage rolls. The Bayley beatdown before the match, setting up Bianca as the last to make the save for Naomi, as post-match damage control was stomping all over to make a statement, like, if you side with Bayley, we're going to beat you up too. Belair is out there with no interest in helping out Bayley. But that's not the case when it comes to Naomi. Brought back into the damage control beef through her, and I'm assuming damage control won't care at all that Bianca is doing it for Naomi, not for Bayley. They're like, well, you're against us. You're not with us. You're against us. So we're going to stomp your ass. Which forces Bianca into the fold. And maybe that's your tag match at WrestleMania? The other asterisk in there is that Jade Cargill is going to be on SmackDown next week. So maybe they do set up Bianca going to be with Damage Control until she's just yanked out of it. Because I'm a bit confused. If they're not doing Cargill versus Belair, why is she on SmackDown? Also, if they are doing Cargill-Belair, why is she only on SmackDown now, 2 weeks before WrestleMania? Like, not both worlds have got a lot of questions. But this is doing like outside of the direct Bayley EO setup stuff for WrestleMania. It was like the wider world building to give EO a win, to give EO some character, and to set up the damage control dynamic, as well as the other people who are going to be fighting damage control outside of just Bayley. And it was quite smart just to take it out of the equation, just to build up the others around in this feud. After last week, we got a lot more of a direct follow-up to the damage control stuff with Bayley versus Dakota Kai. This was like the other side of it. This was Io getting a moment to shine, giving her more momentum for WrestleMania. But yeah, I like how the damage control stuff is heating up. For me, a good sign of how well this build is going is you're still seeing quite a lot of statements on social media from people really behind the idea of this main event in Night 1, just because people are so behind Bayley. She won Royal Rumble, she should main event, blah, 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 blah. As I said before, in terms of where the show on SmackDown has given its time to tell you what should be important and what you as a viewer should be more invested in, that's not what happened here. The build for this has still been, it's felt upper mid-card, but it's not been main event level of time investment for the show. But a lot of that, obviously, you can do anything. If you change the show and you give time investment to this segment, then it would feel like a worthy possible main event. But because they haven't done that, obviously, it would be awesome to see something like this main event, but never in a million years is it going to. which is, you know, a shame. You put the work in beforehand, you get the viewers interested and invested in it by just featuring it. You tell them to get invested that way. Not in a Vince McMahon way, but in a, you know, genuine, this is just how TV works kind of way. Obviously, the number one time investment stuff has been the tag match. So I would be shocked if that is not the main event, and I'll be shocked if it doesn't go on for bloody ages. To be honest, it's arguably one of the matches at WrestleMania I'm least looking forward to, that first tag match, where, yeah, it's one where I know when it begins, I'll be really hyped for it. But I'm expecting it just to go way past its welcome. But most of that is coming from the fact that because Rocky's in the match, then this is his match now, rather than getting the singles match, that it's just going to, like, way overstay its welcome, is my prediction. I'm not talking Edge Randy Orton in the lockdown WrestleMania levels of outstays its welcome, but, you know, I'm expecting it to maybe kick into a few too many gears. Anyway, my wild prediction on WrestleMania I'm generally excited for. I'm generally looking forward to it. Anyway, let's move on to the rest of the show. Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar. All the stable lads banned from ringside from both sides. Rey finally getting his revenge match since returning from an injury sustained back in November. However, it was all building up to Dirty Dom costing his pappy. Santos stealing the win with the outside-the-box interference, because Dom's from neither stable. He's interfering with a different stable guy. It's like, ugh, okay, fine. It's kind of those, it's setting up something, whatever it's going to be. I'm fully expecting a full team scuffle at WrestleMania between these lads. Someone predicted that that slot might go to the Bobby Lashley and Friends versus Karrion Kross and Friends, but that feud feels like it's just got no heat. Where to a point where I wouldn't put anything on WrestleMania. I'd put them in the Battle Royal on SmackDown. It sucks, I think, for Bobby Lashley, who was injured last year, and then this year, it's just kind of like not got much momentum because this feud is just a bit of a dud. I'd give the team kerfuffle to the LWO versus Leo Gardo del Fantismo. Speaking of the tag qualifiers, Theory and Waller versus the OC was our first one. A nice surprise in Gallows and especially Anderson getting a showing shine on Smackers, all setting up Waller stealing the win to give that feeling of the cocky pricks not deserving their spot in the bracket qualifying final. On the other side of it, we had Street Profits versus Authors of Pain. Like, you kind of knew where this was going when the baddies in Theory and Waller got through. This was continuing the feud. Big, scary Ackerman Bazaar were nothing for Dawkins and his pouncers. AOP had the win, but they're stupid and constantly forgot about Dawkins being there to cut them off. Not just once, but twice. And you know what? If you're that stupid, you deserve to lose. Dawkins twice. First, he broke up the pin after a big move. And second, he pounced away a tag potential for Ford to roll up for the win. And you know what? Yeah, you deserve it, AOP. You forgot about the second competitor twice in a tag match. You deserve to lose. Additional notes on SmackDown. Ron Breakker got himself a big and proper VTR play promo package. Jade Cargill also getting a video announcing she's coming to Smackers next week, which I talked about earlier. Pretty Deadly got on Kevin Owens' tits and accidentally got themselves set up in a tag team match with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Oh, and LA Knight turned up at AJ Styles' house to beat him up and get arrested. Man, that fella is an Attitude Era throwback in every way. That's an actual Attitude Era feeling. The home invasion angle where the babyface gets arrested by the police. Yeah, that's what the Attitude Era actually had in it. Not every time you get a good feeling from WWE does that mean the Attitude Era is back. It just means they're doing good TV. Because a lot of the Attitude Era was actually quite shit. Especially in 1999, there's a lot of bad Vince Russo isms in there. It is not a good time all the time when you're watching that. And with that said, let's jump over to Monday Night Raw. I feel like this week SmackDown and Raw are weaving together. They're interweaving much stronger than before. When we get this close to WrestleMania, it kind of makes sense. We've got two SmackDowns left and one Monday Night Raw until WrestleMania is next weekend. So, like, next week will be the final shows going into WrestleMania, which is always, it's right there, it's right around the corner. Anyway, let's jump over to Chicago. It was a hell of a Monday Night Raw at the Allstate Arena, so let's jump over to Chicago, Illinois.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And pointing at that sign means exactly what I said. Two main events, April 6th, defeating the final boss, defeating the tribal. What?
It's
Cody's fuck around curve reaches the find out meter. This is what you get when you fuck with the final boss. Bleeped out. That's my main annoyance with this. Watching this on the TNT Sports feed, we get the same bleepings and cuttings out for the feed that we get from America. But over in the UK, we'd let that stand. Because I think we talked about this before, we've got something over here called the Watershed, where everybody's in understanding that from 9 p.m, you're going to hear swear words, you might see a pair of boobies, you're going to see more violence. Like where everybody was, you're going to see more adult content from 9 p.m. onwards, and that also includes just, you know, stories that children might find boring. Like a slow-paced period drama would also probably be on after the Watershed. When people talk about, oh, we want to make this game more mature, no, that doesn't mean sexy times. That means a plot that might bore a 14-year-old. They're very different things. Very different things. But anyway, covering these segments might break my swear word record for these shows. I love the feeling of this one, just that a little bit more violence and swearing just made this feel a lot more special. But it's the fact that how much it fed into things and how this is for the Rock character, just a real elevation that his character really did need to transition from just speaking and chatting crap to, no, I'm actually going to show you what happens when you screw around with the... Well, he's just the final boss. I think I talked about with SmackDown where Roman kind of needed him to say F with the bloodline, not F with the final boss. But it feeds into Rocky's character a lot more if he does... He's doing this because Cody specifically F'd with him, not because he F'd with his family. He may talk about his family, but when he gets into moments like this, he's just out for it, for looking out for himself, which I like as a huge character beat. There's also a chance that it's not on purpose. But you can use it afterwards, you can hindsight book with this. What a segment this was. A great shot with the crowd there for good old Phil, getting the surprise bonus football of old man Dwayne. Cody's beforehand, the lad came out in ultimate babyface mode, talking about the charity work and things that he does, and that then feeds into him talking about why he does it, like character-wise. With some good lines directed at Roman too. The things I do are completely lost on Roman. I pretend to be the champion because the champion isn't here. It's like, oh yes, here we go. Characters with defined traits debating at odds on their philosophies. This is the good shit. This is the actual good shit. It's like, oh, they've got different beliefs on how things should happen and should play out. It's like, they've got different views on what a champion actually is. And they can debate about this stuff because they're, you know, actual defined characters. Us, me watching wrestling 5 years ago, was dreaming of this. Then AEW started going like, we're going to do something a bit more different. We went into the Kenny Omega Hangman Page kind of proof of concept run eventually, which was like defined characters debating stuff, having their different philosophies tested against each other. And here we are again, now with Cody and Roman in WWE. It's like, oh, it's good to see it from both sides. Hero Cody even got to use the term wankfest to describe the initially announced Rock Roman main event. As a British person, I highly approve of the use of the term wankfest. I don't know if that didn't get bleeped, so I'm assuming in America that's not as big a deal. Over here, if you said that before the Watershed, like if you say that at like 7 p.m, that's getting cut out. You can't say wank. you can't talk about masturbating before that time. Getting the crowd on his side to point at the WrestleMania side with him, using that promo hype to be the exact perfect time to surprise with the final boss. Lightning on the Titantron, amazing. Camera just flat, establishing shot as Roman comes out, using that promo hype. As you know, they pressed the button on the WWE game to camera facing stage and just using that now. Posing for the crowd and letting the atmosphere soak in. Then a naughty little whisper into Cody's ear and pissing back off. I thought this was great. But yeah, as Cody, that whole time he's getting really amped up about defeating Roman, and then The Rock comes out as just this nutter, and then everything, and Cody just, the emotion on his face is completely switches, and he looks scared at that point of he doesn't know what Rock is going to do. But that's just selling all of that. That's huge from Cody because that's really important for what happens later when The Rock does beat him up. Like you saw the expression on Cody's face, where we don't really know what this Rock is capable of, so he's ready for something, but he doesn't quite know what. And this is where we learn what he's capable of, which is on purpose makes you for the Cody character to feel a bit more scared for WrestleMania. Because you have seen what he's capable of now, which is really important, setting him up as a villain. This then, I'll jump forward to the main event. So the main event was Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Seth approaching Jey in Gorilla before the match, like Han Solo, like, got a bad feeling about this. A perfectly fine main event, all bubbling into ringside shenanigans. A Seth out as protection. Drew predicting it after a cheeky teamwork with Heyman in the background of R-Truth backstage comedy segment earlier in the show. And Future shocking the champion onto the ringside mat Jay then able to overcome Shinsuke's attempted capitalizing and spear in for the win, where we then cut to backstage with Cody fending off Jimmy and Solo, which is then pretty important. It's like, okay, so that's why Jimmy and Solo didn't come out and attack Jay in the main event, but also that's why Seth was all that out there all alone, able to just take a beating from Drew, because Cody's busy. That's why all three of them weren't there. And Cody successfully fights off both Jimmy and Solo, which is a nice little visual, a little telling for WrestleMania, where last time he wasn't able to do it, this time he is able to. Only for The Rock to slam in as the difference maker. Slamming in to finally deliver his message. Slamming Cody all over the backstage area, out into the raining parking lot. It's one thing I learned from Kazuchika Okada vs Minoru Suzuki. People beating each other up out in the rain for wrestling looks awesome. On camera, especially in photography, it captures so amazingly. There's an absolutely amazing photo of Okada hitting a dropkick on Suzuki. It's like, oh. Just the visual that the rain gives is absolutely incredible. And obviously, a lot of the memes have come from the earlier parts of, like, The Rock throwing the trash can at Cody and Cody spinning about backstage. Make their way there. And that's where some of the meme stuff is coming from. But the guts of this, the meat of the product, is when they go out into the rain, and oh, it looked so good. Leading us to Cody's big bus, directing the beating as a message to Mama Rhodes. Cody blading and bleeding out in the rain, which I assume helped, made it look even more awesome. Violence and swearing for a segment like we haven't seen in a long time on WWE telly. Wiping Cody's blood onto a weight belt with Mama Rhodes' name on it. The camera getting right up in there as the blood trickled down too. That's another part we've not seen for WWE in quite a long time, because they've just been using, if they've done blood, it's been either accidental or it's been the blood capsule. So with the blood capsule, you don't want to get up close. And obviously, like, the sweat will carry it, but it won't. It's not going to look right. This was, oh wait, no. He's done what Cody's been dreaming about doing ever since he left AEW. He's missed it for so long. He's taken the red mist from Shinsuke Nakamura, but finally, he's able to do the proper thing. He's got somebody from the board is there doing the segment with him. They're not going to say no. He's finally got his moment. He can finally do this. And it looked so awesome. Like, what a segment from these two. One of the best WWE has produced in a long time. What The Rock is capable of, both as a character and a performer, truly revealed before us here. Set up so well by Cody starting the show by saying the time for talk is over. The ending well and truly shifting us into that gear, where now is the time for action as we get to that final weeks before WrestleMania. And arguably, SmackDown simmered so Raw could boil. That's how I felt coming out of this. Yeah, the Roman stuff with SmackDown felt a bit, whatever. But with the guys all coming out for their six-man stare-downs, and then that transitioning into this on Raw, it's like, you know what, it did feel a bit like a simmer before a boil. So SmackDown ended a bit, bubbled a bit. Raw was like properly frothing. I mean, I'm assuming that's if the pan was sentient, if you're cooking spaghetti and it starts to drop over. I'm assuming the pan is going. Wah, 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 wah. You know, through these podcast things, you learn more about me than I ever thought you would find out. But yeah, five stars, all the stars, seven stars, give it all the stars. It did so much, so well for everybody involved. Apart from Roman, which is consistently the main thing here. This is The Rock taking matters into his hands and Roman taking the seat back. Been more The Rock in this build. That's probably the other thing that's hurting. The fact that Roman is doing his normal schedule and he's not there that often, whilst The Rock has been there incredibly often. So he just feels like the stronger character because he's just there. Recency bias is a thing. And recently, The Rock's been there so that people can get behind him a lot more. But yeah, the opening segment was then built to this at the end of the show. So well done. And the fact it was also a surprise because they'd sold everything out for CM Punk. That was even better. The fact that they made it feel like a special, but made it feel like a special for CM Punk. Then you bring out The Rock as a huge surprise. That works so, so well. Production-wise as well, this was a special-feeling show with the smaller Titantron to get in extra fans behind the screen, similar to what they did for Survivor Series last time they were in Chicago with Phil. There was also a, like, I want to say, like, one and a half minute long shot as well for one of the matches. It was like, oh, Kevin Dunn is dead. The Dunn is dead. And Raw is so much better for it. How much was he holding this crew back? Look how amazing this Raw looks now. With all the little incremental changes made. It's like little things, one after the other, week after week. But you keep building those things. You keep edging out the Dunn-isms. And eventually you get a product that feels... It feels well and above AEW at the moment. And AEW used to feel slight years ahead of Raw under the Dunn era. But now, I feel like over the course of the last... How many months has it been since Dunn left? Like 3 months? that I feel like Raw might be my favourite production at the moment. It's still a bit of stuff which might be WWE-isms, just in terms of still a little bit too much fast cutting. But and maybe for your personal preference, it can be very shiny, where it's like overly lit or whatever. But they lit the audience way darker during matches. The boards around ringside are black with the Raw logo during matches. You still get your shiny colour, but you get it during entrances, not matches. With matches, it dies down quite a bit. Honestly, right now, I prefer WWE's, but that's because they keep doing new interesting stuff that keeps getting my attention. Well, for AEW, they're doing the same interesting stuff they've been doing for a while that did get my attention, but now they've been doing it for a while, so I'm not like, new thing, like I am with WWE. Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. The actual reasons the fans were there. You don't drink, you don't do drugs, but you spend most of your time in rehab. Hater Drew is still my absolute favourite character on this show. Drew, the most grounded lad when he's talking about others. Sitting cross-legged on the announce desk to chat shit at CM Punk. Oh, I love that character so much. A line dance with Drew referring to his original Chosen One moniker, with Punk asking him who on earth he's talking about. Who called you that? Like, well, we can't say his name because, you know. There's a damn thing with a difficult line there. The way around that is just don't bring it up. Don't say the bit. Seth Rollins out to give old Punk a ton of headache. And I'll be honest, this segment was way more fun than I was expecting. Three lads all built up to royally get on each other's tits. As in imitate them. I'm not 100% sure that that's a saying in America. I've gone with it anyway. If not, you've learnt a new Britishism. Seth having no respect for Punk. Punk not impressed by Seth. Drew grounded in his rational dislike for both. Cody and Punk together in pointing out the Scots' hypocrisy. Oh, I really like the dynamic between all three of these people here. When I watch this, I'm like, it's a shame we've not got a triple threat because Punk's injured. But I know it was building up to likely look like it would be Punk versus Seth only, but Punk, McIntyre, Seth, is that all three of them together are incredibly interesting. That arguably feels more interesting to me. The fans may have wanted their man, their CM Punk, their Chicagoan, to be their special referee after a maybe unwise nudge from said man, but it's announced that Punk will be on commentary for the title match at WrestleMania, which is the main point of this segment. But it did create a really fun dynamic between all three guys, which will play out and really, really aid the match at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, I felt like, have done a really good job of getting you invested with the time that's been given to them. Bringing Becky's big bouts to the forefront of attention. The last was limping after her match in their show ending face-to-face last week. Rhea Ripley, fresh as a daisy, as Lynch put it. The Aussie making the point that fighting your way to WrestleMania isn't exactly the smart play. And proof of how over Rhea is, she can throw out a super baddie, villainous line about Becky's daughter watching WrestleMania and calling Ripley Mammy, and they still chant her name like she's their chosen hero. Becky gets booed because she's not Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley can say this, and she's still cheered. Tells you how incredibly over she is, and how much, for me, this match is the absolute perfect match to then get Ripley over to that next level. There is one guaranteed correct alignment reaction, though. Becky slapping Dominic, getting a huge, lovely pop. The ball afterwards getting a great reaction too. Like, hey, Ripley may be the most over woman right now, but the crowd was hot to see both have that encounter. They went crazy for them both doing that. So when they're having their talks back and forth, and if they do the punch yay, Ripley may be in favour, but they went crazy for them both interacting. Like, they are actually invested. The crowd isn't being a dick to one of them. Like, no, they've actually invested in both of these women. And for me, that was proven by the Raw reactions that the crowd got. And finally, just to talk about Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. Big boy Bronson bouldering Sammy down. The large gentleman on top for the ad break leading. Sammy fighting back, but Gunter out there to guarantee his earlier words come to fruition in a backstage interview telling Kathy Kelly that Sammy won't be able to beat Bronson. The distraction of Gunter enough to give Bronson the sway. The tsunami flying with the Austrian smiling on from the entranceway. The whole thing positioning Sammy to sit under Chad Gable's learning tree to counter Gunter's methods of instilling doubt in his competitors. And Sami Zayn is an absolutely perfect character for Gunter to do that so, like, blatantly and brazenly. He is arguably at his most cocky. And Sami Zayn is the kind of character where it's all about fighting up against people not believing in him. He sold him not believing in it too really well. Or at least having Gunter's instilling of that doubt really affect him. And just putting it right at the forefront with his stuff with Chad Gable. The fact that Chad Gable was really disappointed last week because he knew he could beat Gunter in his own mind. But he didn't believe Sami could. Which then leads really well to be like, you know what though? What if you teach me how to though? What if we work together to actually take him down? And I feel like I wouldn't be against Sammy winning now. They've done enough to sell me on it. which is either absolutely perfect for Gunter to win. You've sold me on the competitor. Job done. Move on to the next one. Or it's perfect just to end the Gunter's reign here and have him transition to the main event whilst on top before the reign gets a bit too long. I feel like we're at a perfect level right now where it's felt like a long reign, it's felt like an impressive reign, but it's not outstaged record at all. And then we can move on to the next level where we still want to see him be a champion and he can go for the main championship. We're not tired of seeing him with a belt. He can get another belt. And there's quite a few things, like for WrestleMania, where I've talked about the who should win out, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. Like, I'm so interested in the Drew McIntyre character, but maybe the match I'm most invested in is Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. That said, with the other challenges that I've set up, like if Walter, I keep calling him Walter, if Gunter loses at WrestleMania and he can elevate him up to the main event, you've also got Damian Priest there with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Surely, what's going to happen is Seth Rollins is going to win because there's all these guys ready there in the wings to face. And Drew McIntyre could do stuff with CM Punk without the title, I guess. Or Drew McIntyre's got to finally blame himself. Or once again, not and fully descend into, like, no, everybody's to blame and lashes out all over the place over the course of the summer. There's a lot of interesting routes you can go down. It's just that it feels like, I'd like Drew to win because I'm super into his character. But also, in terms of the other stuff bubbling on more, it makes a lot more sense for Seth to retain. Damian Priest got to cash in on somebody. Anyway, that brings me to the end of this week of WWE. Part of me's considered moving the recording date forward because if I'm not doing NXT, it's kind of like, I can record at any point. But no, this is in terms of this week specifically. I was out watching James Acaster do a comedy gig. I wasn't in the house, so it's flat out not going to happen. And that's when I remembered, oh yeah, that's why I moved it to Thursdays. I was not in on a Wednesday way too much and kept shifting the recording days. Like, you know what, just keep it on a Thursday. I seem to be in on that day. I'm never not in on a Thursday, it seems. So I might as well just stick with that. Anyway, that brings me to the end of the review for the week. A decent week in terms of setting up WrestleMania. As I was talking about, it felt like Raw and SmackDown interweaved the best that they have done so far. It did a really good job of getting you excited for SmackDown. And we've only got two more episodes. We've got two more episodes of SmackDown. We've got one more Raw. And then we've got WrestleMania. So this time next week will be the final stretch. The final line. When this goes live, it'll be the day of the Hall of Fame. If they're still doing that. I haven't actually checked. It's a SmackDown before WrestleMania. Whatever they call it. WrestleMania SmackDown or whatever. Where they do the Battle Royal and things. If they still want to do that. Because there were some things that got shifted weird under Vince towards the end. So maybe... maybe he gets put back onto the show or the pre-show or whatever. We'll see. I'm excited for WrestleMania. It might be a bit long. It might be not to everybody's cup of tea just because it's not going to be, you know, AEW five-star, crazy. But it is going to be a super fun couple of nights. That's kind of what WWE do really well. Often, if WrestleMania's not had a great build or whatever, it doesn't really matter because the show itself is normally a great spectacle, even if the matches aren't like that amazing. But I feel like this year... there is almost like last year, where it's just that the card has got a lot of strength in it, as well as the spectacle. Something Vince didn't always understand. Anyway, with that said, I say thank you for listening, liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated. Never taken for granted. I'll be back next week, right before WrestleMania, to talk about WrestleMania. And with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.